Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 65 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Jacob Lindsberg.
To bring this issue like this as a single issue, I think that's you're facing defeat immediately.
State Representative Jim Wayne says it's a mistake to consider changing the road funding formula in isolation. He's calling for a meeting to discuss how Kentucky can pay for road work.
The city of Lexington is preserving a now-defunct ordinance that was in the process of raising the minimum wage.
And a new report finds Kentucky unemployment is down.
In sports, the Moorhead State's men basketball team is in action this evening at its annual Blue Gold scrimmage.
Bud Luke will bring us the stock news.
Mostly cloudy tonight, lows around 42 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
An Ohio man who previously admitted to murder pleaded not guilty yesterday morning. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, 24-year-old Jacob Lane of Franklin Furnace pleaded not guilty at his arraignment for the murder of 21-year-old Justin Reeder. Ashland police report Lane admitted to shooting Reeder in the head in a previous interview and told officers where to find the body, which was located along County Road 218 behind Rock Hill High School in Ironton. Lane's pretrial is set for November 2nd. His bond remains at $100,000 in cash.
A two-vehicle crash near Lucasville Thursday afternoon has taken the life of a 46-year-old Franklin Furnace woman. Troopers from the Ohio Highway Patrol identified the victim as Melissa Uten. They say she was killed when her car collided head-on with another auto on State Route 104. Police say the driver of a second vehicle was treated for injuries that were not life-threatening. The accident happened around 3:30.
The Lewis County Herald is reporting that there were only minor injuries yesterday when a Head Start bus collided with a car south of Vanceburg and the bus tipped over on its side. Sheriff's deputies say the accident happened on Kentucky 59 shortly after 2 p.m. today. Initial reports indicate that the auto struck the rear of the bus, which then went off the road and veered back onto the pavement before toppling over. Deputies say there were 7 people on board, 5 children and 2 adults. One youngster was taken to the hospital as a precaution. Police say the mishap remains under investigation.
Police in Mount Washington are investigating the murder of a donut shop owner that was shot Wednesday morning. Police are investigating a vehicle captured by video surveillance shortly after the incident. KNN's Haley Hansen spoke to Detective Dan Kelty.
It is in the time frame that the incident occurred. That vehicle is in the area at the time.
Do you believe whoever did the shooting is in that vehicle?
We're still investigating that.
Police believe there were 2 people involved with the incident, but a motive for the attack is unknown.
The Army says 2 Fort Campbell soldiers are being held as persons of interest in another soldier's disappearance nearly 2 months ago. Suzanne Duvall has more.
Fort Campbell didn't identify the soldiers and says law enforcement at the Army are continuing to investigate the disappearance of Private Shadow McLean. The 25-year-old failed to report back for duty as an air traffic control tower operator after the Labor Day weekend. McLean's mother says she last heard from her daughter in an exchange of texts on September 2nd. She says her daughter was dog-sitting for a friend and gave no indication anything was wrong. She says she's praying the soldiers will tell authorities what they know. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
The city of Ashland and its firefighters union have agreed on a new 2-year contract. The pact with Local 706 of the International Association of Firefighters was approved this afternoon by city commissioners. Greg Ray is Ashland's deputy fire chief. He says the accord does not provide for a pay hike.
Well, actually, our pay increase is based on the city's, and this year the city didn't offer any pay increases. So most of the work on the contract was some wording and cleaning up stuff, a few little things about promotional process that we changed a little bit.
Ray says the new contract covers about 45 firefighters.
The Boyd County Emergency Operations Center will be moved to Westwood. That's according to the county's Emergency Management Director, Tim England. He says the EOC will be relocated on the second floor of the building that houses the Westwood Fire Department.
Right now we're in what is basically a trailer, a double-wide trailer, which is not the most stable building, especially in severe weather and such. And it's also in a remote industrial park. By moving to Westwood, we're in a brick-and-mortar building It has much better facilities. We do not have sleeping quarters, any place for rest for the staff if we had to be open for, let's say, 12 hours plus.
England says the move will likely be made in about 30 days.
Ashland's tennis courts are about to get their first major upgrade in about 20 years. Sean Murray is the city's Parks and Recreation Director.
And they have a lot of surface cracks and fissures, and so what we've planned on doing is resurfacing them, the entire courts. We have five courts out there right now. It's a large process, it's a large project to do, and so this was the first step, is getting approval so we could actually go back in, make the court safer, provide an overlay on top of the existing structure, the existing surface. We don't plan on taking it down to the ground.
Murray says the work won't begin until spring. He says the project will cost almost $200,000. It was approved by city commissioners this afternoon.
The Ashland Housing Authority has a new director. He's Mike Miller, who has headed the city's Planning and Community Development Department for the past 7 years. Miller will oversee Ashland's Scope Towers and DeBoard Terrace complexes, which are home to about 500 low-income citizens.
I think there's a need for affordable housing. They have a large occupancy rate up there. Rick Young, the former director, did a great job in bringing the Housing Authority from a troubled agency to a very good performing agency. It interests me in the fact that I think there's a need for affordable housing, and I think there's a possibility that we could do some expansion up there.
Miller takes over the job November 9th. Former housing director Rick Young passed away in August.
Lexington officials say homeless services will combine operations at one location in the city in the next few months. An overnight shelter, Community Inn, and a day shelter, Catholic Action Center, plan to move into a building that used to be owned by the city on Industry Road. The Lexington Herald Leader reports officials announced on Monday that the move is expected to take about 4 months. Divine Providence Incorporated, which runs both services, paid $550,000 for the Industry Road building, which will operate 24 hours a day. Meanwhile, the agency's building on East 5th Street will go to the city. Ginny Ramsey, who is co-director of Catholic Action and Community Inn, said the move allows the agency to improve and expand services offered to the homeless.
Lexington's Urban County Council issued a symbolic rebuke to the Kentucky Supreme Court this week, choosing to keep the city's now defunct minimum wage hike on the books. Following an initial tie vote, the majority of the council decided against a motion to repeal the 2015 ordinance, which gradually bumps the wage to $10.10 an hour by 2018. Mayor Jim Gray said preserving that language is the right thing to do.
This is frustrating for our citizens, for our employers, and our employees. Our goal is to continue to grow the economy, and we do that by adjusting and adapting the minimum wage.
The state's highest court voted last week to overturn local wage increases passed in Lexington and Louisville, arguing the cities exceeded their constitutional authority.
Unemployment rates have fallen in 74 Kentucky counties. Paul Miles reports.
The jobless rate rose in 41 and stayed the same in five counties between September 2015 and September of this year. Oldham and Woodford counties recorded the lowest unemployment rates last month at 3.1% each. Magoffin County in eastern Kentucky had the highest rate at 15.5%. The jobless rate in Jefferson County in September was 4.2%. In Fayette County, it was 3.4%. I'm Paul Miles.
A company with operations in Maysville and five other Kentucky cities today reported net income for the third quarter of $312 million. International Paper says that compares with earnings of $2,200 million for the same 3 months last year. Company Chairman Mark Sutton says the improved results were fueled by a strong demand for IP's box and container board products.
Box demand's playing out more or less the way we have seen it for a while now in the course of 2016. So we always saw it strengthening. Our model was predicting, based on economic performance and inputs, that we were going to strengthen through the second half of the year, and so we're seeing that. It's a little bit better, quite frankly, than we might have thought.
International Paper is headquartered in Memphis. Besides Maysville, it also has plants in Lexington, Louisville, Bowling Green, Henderson, and Richwood.
State Representative Jim Wayne is calling for a high-level meeting to discuss all of Kentucky's options for raising revenues to pay for highway maintenance, repair, and construction. The Louisville Democrat was responding to a call from the Kentucky League of Cities to alter the state's formula for distributing road fund taxes so that municipalities got a bigger share of the mix. Wayne says there should be a broader discussion with all the stakeholders brought to the summit.
And that the summit should really include all the parties that are affected by highways and roads in this state, including mileage taxes. So that you basically, with all the new technology, you can determine how many miles are on a monthly basis or someone is using, and you tax them for that, much like a toll. But it's much more fair.
Wayne says the dialogue should also include taxes on batteries for electric-powered vehicles and many other things. He says it doesn't do much good to consider the way road fund taxes are distributed in isolation.
The deputy executive director of the Kentucky League of Cities says the organization has always worked with other groups on solutions to the state's problems. J.D. Cheney says Kentucky's distribution formula for road fund revenues is no exception.
We have had dialogue with the Kentucky Association of Counties, the Judge Executives and the Magistrates Association. We have not been able to reach an agreement. But I think part of this is a step of putting this issue out here, of the basic inequity in the formula. Hopefully that produces more continued dialogue.
The KLC has argued that the formula should be changed to reflect population shifts. The league says more than half of Kentucky's people now live in cities, and that wasn't the case when the method was adopted in 1948.
Republican Senator Rand Paul says polls that show Hillary Clinton leading Donald Trump are designed to lower voter turnout. The Kentucky senator made the comment Wednesday on the Tom Roten Morning Show in West Virginia.
I do think that when we say over and over someone can't win, that is a form of rigging in the sense that it is designed to suppress turnout. I think sometimes polling is done to dampen election turnout.
Paul, who is running for re-election, pointed to the Kentucky governor's race in 2015. He said, despite media polls continually showing Democrats ahead by 8 points, Republicans ended up winning by the same margin.
And finally, artwork showing Muhammad Ali in a classic pose with white trunks and red boxing gloves was stolen from the Muhammad Ali Center in a brazen theft. Police spokesman Dwight Mitchell says the signed print of a painting by Leroy Nyman was taken Saturday. He says the artwork was valued at $5,000. Mitchell says investigators are trying to locate a person of strong interest. The signed artwork was on display in the Ali Center's Leroy Nyman Gallery.
Your weather for tonight, mostly cloudy with patchy fog near dawn, lows in the lower 40s. On Friday, sunny with patchy fog early, highs in the upper 60s. Friday night, mostly clear with lows in the mid-40s in the valleys and in the mid-50s on the ridges. On Saturday, sunny with highs around 80 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with lows around 60 degrees. On Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Sunday night, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. In Ashland right now, it is 68 degrees. Flemingsburg, 60 degrees. Inez, 68 degrees. Lexington, 63, Winchester, 64, and here in Moorhead on MSU's campus, it's 65 degrees.
The time is 4:44. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Jacob Lindberg. We're glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. Stay tuned. In about 15 minutes, you'll have All Things Considered from NPR, bringing you the latest in national and international news headlines. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Moorhead State University professor Chris Schrader. He says he's not voting for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump.
I know a lot of you are tuning in today to get some sort of guidance as to who to cast your vote for on November 8th, and I want you to know that I'm all too happy to help. I've tried to provide a conservative point of view in this airspace over the past few months, and as such, I haven't been shy about pointing out Mrs. Clinton's shortcomings, numerous as they are. Her entire career has been tainted by controversy, by cover-ups, lying, and intimidation, especially in the direction of those whom she claims to fight for the most, women. If any females threatened the path to power laid out by her and her husband, she gave them no quarter, no credibility, and no tolerance. But you also may have noticed that I've been just as critical of Mr. Trump. He also seems to have an on-again, off-again relationship with the truth and integrity. He's a sketchy businessman at best who has been pro-life for about 5 minutes, is anything but conservative when it comes to free trade, and has threatened to harm some of our most basic freedoms, including speech and the press. So what's a good citizen to do? Well, a couple of points here. First, please spare me the hyperbolic rhetoric about how the Republic won't survive 4 years of her or him. If you think a morally reprehensible, power-hungry woman or a narcissistic game show host can really halt the great American experiment in its tracks over the course of 4 or even 8 years, then by all means, please do move to Canada. And please don't tell me that these are my only two choices. And don't tell me that a vote for someone else is a wasted vote. Isn't voting for someone that you don't really want to be president more of a wasted vote? And are there really only two people that have a chance of winning? Well, maybe not. I plan on casting my vote for Evan McMullen, a Republican from Utah, and he actually has a chance to win. In case you're not a government professor, let me explain. Right now, McMullen is pulling a strong third in Utah. If he can pull off the upset and grab Utah's 6 electoral votes, he's got a shot. Of course, it would also have to be the case that neither Hillary nor the Donald garner the 270 electoral votes necessary to win outright. If that doesn't happen, the whole thing gets sent to the House of Representatives, which will be controlled by a bunch of Republicans who aren't particularly fond of Donald Trump and who are free to vote for any of the top 3 finishers according to electoral votes won. Since each state cohort gets precisely 1 vote, if it comes down to that, there's a better than decent chance that McMullen becomes the 45th president of these United States. So while I can't bring myself to do it, to my fellow Republicans out there, unless you're living in Utah, by all means vote for Trump. Those votes will help ensure that Hillary doesn't get that magic 270 number, and at that point anything can happen. As for me, I want to come out on the other side of this election and the next presidency, knowing that I didn't vote for someone whom I didn't think would be a good president. Will you be able to say the same thing when you wake up on November 9th? I'm Chris Schrader.
Dr. Chris Schrader is a professor of mathematics and computer science at Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. You are still tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. Programming on MSPR is made possible through the support of our listeners, underwriting partners, Morehead State University, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You can visit us online to view a list of community events in the region or the local news that we are sending your way right now at wmky.org. Coming up next, it's sports from Braxton Howard in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting The Devil Made Us Do It, depictions of Satan in Kentucky folk art. On display through December 3rd, the exhibition examines how the character of the devil has been portrayed by generations of self-taught artists from Kentucky. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Art Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State men's basketball team held its annual media day earlier this afternoon to preview its 2016-17 campaign. After facing some injuries last year in the postseason, head coach Sean Woods says he looks to keep his roster fit for the long run this year.
Once we got healthy, we made that run in the CBI tournament. So the thing this year is, just trying to stay healthy for the long haul and be fresh just like everybody wants to for those 3 games in March.
The Eagles will host their Blue Gold game tonight at 6:30 and will open up the season on November the 6th against Cincinnati Christian at 2 p.m. The MSU men's basketball team also picked up its first commitment of the 2017 class. 6'6 small forward Jaquan McCauley out of Tyler Junior College gave his verbal commitment to Coach Sean Woods and the Eagles yesterday. McCauley says it was his visit to campus a couple of weeks ago that sold him on MSU.
It was just a family environment. Everybody was so welcoming. I felt like that was my next home.
McCauley averaged 8 points and 4 rebounds a game last season at Tyler Junior College. The Morehead State women's basketball team held their annual media day earlier this afternoon as well. Head coach Greg Todd says he is proud of the work his team put into the offseason and is excited about this season's roster.
We have got a full roster this year, which is exciting for us. I feel like our bench play will be much, much stronger, and we feel like we have been practicing harder.
MSU finished last year with a record of 10-20 overall and 4-12 in OVC play. They open up the season with an exhibition contest against Transylvania on November the 3rd at home. The University of Kentucky men's basketball team is preparing for its first exhibition matchup of the season with Clarion on Sunday. Head coach John Calipari says fans can expect to see a very athletic team that plays extremely aggressive from his Wildcats.
We're going to be a mauling, helping, rotating, shot-blocking team. On offense, a team that tries to score within 3 seconds, and if not, is doing something to attack the rim or throw it to the post. That's not there. Probably some sort of pick and roll. And or give it to somebody who can jump this high and get a jump shot off.
Sunday's game is scheduled to tip off at 7 p.m. Losers of 4 of the last 5 games, the Morehead State football team is taking a much-needed weekend off. At 2-6 overall on the year and 1-4 in PFL play, head coach Rob Tenier says his team is spending its week off, going back to the drawing board.
You know, it gets difficult when this type of season happens, you know, and you're not being successful. You got 17 seniors, 20 seniors actually, and they're playing their last 3-4 weeks of football, and it's disappointing, and comes back to me as the head coach and our assistant coaches and finding the right pieces and putting our guys out there to be successful, and we're not doing that right now.
The Football Eagles will visit Butler a week from Saturday. The University of Kentucky football team is getting set to do battle with Missouri on Saturday. With a noon Eastern time kickoff, head coach Mark Stoops wants to see how his guys will respond to an early start time.
We play an 11 o'clock game. What are our players going to do? They have to be selfless again all week. They have to prepare. They have to watch film. They have to practice hard. And they also got to get some sleep. And we got to wake up and play at 11 o'clock their time. You know, most of our guys are still in bed. You know, I shouldn't say that. They go to school. But we got to wake up ready to go.
Kentucky is 4-3 on the year. Missouri is 2-5 and coming off of a 51-45 upset loss at home to Middle Tennessee. The Louisville Cardinals and Western Kentucky will reunite on the football field. Will Clark has more.
Louisville and Western Kentucky have agreed to play 3 games starting with the 2018 season, pitting WKU coach Jeff Brohm against his former team and Cards head coach Bobby Petrino against the squad he led for a year. The games in 2018 and 2020 will be played in Louisville, while the 2019 game will be played at Nissan Stadium in Nashville. The 2018 game will be the first football meeting of the two schools since the 1998 season, with Louisville having won the last 9 meetings. I'm Will Clark.
After Game 2 that saw the Cubs even up the World Series at 1 game apiece, the two teams are taking today off as the series shifts to Chicago for the next 3 games. The Cubs earned a 5-1 victory over Cleveland in last night's game, and Indians manager Terry Francona says his team gave the Cubs too many opportunities.
We gave up, 9 hits, 8 walks, 2 errors, and we only gave up 5 runs. We're probably pretty fortunate because there was traffic all night. For us to win, we generally need to play a clean game, and we didn't do that.
First pitch for Friday's Game 3 is set for 8 p.m. And finally in sports, as fall practice winds down, the Morehead State Baseball Eagles are in the midst of its inter-squad banana split World Series. Coach Mike McGuire believes this is the first chance for his veterans to show how much they've matured since last season.
You know, we're getting better pitch selection. You know, one of the things we focused on, we wanted to walk more, get more free bases. And seeing some of the guys that, were kind of all or nothing, either got a hit or got out but didn't get free bases last year, I've learned to work a walk and get a better pitch to hit.
The Banana Split Series is a best of 5. The losing team has to make the winning squad Banana Splits afterwards. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Volleyball will host Tennessee State at 7 p.m. tomorrow night and Jacksonville State at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and additional information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed lower as investors parsed through a fresh batch of corporate earnings results and economic data, while sovereign bonds around the world fell and interest rates were up today. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain, or I should say a loss, of 29.65 at 18,169.68. The S&P 500 was down 6.39 at 2133.04, And the NASDAQ Composite was down 34.29 at 5215.97. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2 to 1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. U.S. Treasury yields rose broadly with the 2-year note yield trading around 0.88% and the benchmark 10-year yield around 1.84%. And yields were up basically all over the globe, and in particular in countries such as Brazil, Italy, and India. On the earnings front, Colgate-Palmolive, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Ford, and UPS reported earnings before the opening this morning. All of these stocks were lower in today's trading except Bristol-Myers, which was up over 5% on a very strong earnings report. Corporate earnings have overall done well relative to expectations so far this earnings season. According to data from the Earnings Scout, 50% of S&P 500 companies have posted results as of this morning, with 73% beating earnings estimates and 61% beating sales expectations. Overseas, European equities erased earlier gains, with the pan-European Stoxx 600 index falling just a very small fraction. And in Asia, stocks closed mostly lower, with the Nikkei 225 slipping about 0.3% and the Shanghai Composite dropping 0.13%. And gold futures for December delivery rose $2.90 to settle at $1,269.50 per ounce. Your best performers on the Dow today were Verizon and DuPont. And your worst performers among the Dow stocks were Boeing and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Level 3 Communications and CenturyLink, and your worst performers were O'Reilly Automotive and Teradata. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global Holdings up 1 penny at $111.94, CSX down 7 cents at $30.31, AK Steel down 36 cents at $5.14, AEP down 34 cents at $63.19, Marathon Petroleum down $1.47 at $42.79, and Community Trust Bank was up 3 cents to finish at $36.81. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Your weather forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy with patchy fog near dawn, lows in the lower 40s. On Friday, sunny with patchy fog early, highs in the upper 60s. Friday night, mostly clear with lows in the mid-40s in the valleys and in the mid-50s on the ridges. On Saturday, sunny with highs around 80 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with lows around 60 degrees. On Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Sunday night, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. On Monday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-70s. Monday night, mostly clear with lows in the upper 50s. And on Tuesday, sunny with highs around 80 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. In Ashland right now, it's 68 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 60 degrees. Inez, 68 degrees. Lexington, 63. Winchester, 64. And here in Moorhead on MSU's campus, it's 65 degrees.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, and Brian Courtney. From WUKY, Josh James. From the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles, Suzanne Duvall, and Haley Hansen. And with our feature, MSU professor Chris Schrader. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindeberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.